Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. That is Nick Wright. We got some big stories from big personalities out of the NFL last night. We're going to spend plenty of time on Odell, but we are going to jump right into the show with the L. Bell news that broke while most of you were sleeping. Le'Veon Bell is headed to the New York Jets. 4 years, $52 million deal. 35 of those dollars are guaranteed. He will now make less per year, a little over $13 million, than he was slated to make under the Steelers franchise tag last year, and less than other offers the Steelers had previously made him. But Le'Veon Bell has got a new chapter to start now. Put this on Instagram. Let's go, he said. Life's a gamble. Making reference to his new mixtape just came out, Catchy Tunes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Is it a mixtape or an album?
It was probably an album, but I play in my cassette player when...
I don't know what it was. I didn't know any of it. Jenna, you gave me information. Whether it was mixtape, album,
very good music that
limited EP, whatever it was. I didn't know that was the name of it.
All that being said, CC, we'll start with you. We'll put the album and the mixtape aside. What was your reaction to this deal?
I'm happy for him. Happy that it was able to get done. You're talking about a team as we approach free agency. The New York Football Jets, they had more money available at that time than anyone. And as you go through this and they start signing players, you go, man, are they going to get some offensive help for Sam Darnold? And I like the way first they started on the defense, able to get them some defensive help. But I like the fact that they have one of the best all-purpose running backs in football in Le'Veon Bell. His ability to be able to build affect the game as a running back out of the backfield, as a premier pass catcher. That's the difference between him and the other running backs. You talk about Todd Gurley. Man, Todd Gurley, he's the best back in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott, he might be the best pure runner, but the best combination running back is Le'Veon Bell. And he happens to play for the Jets. And it is a huge insurance policy that you're going to get the best out of Sam Darnold. So I'm glad they're able to help out the young quarterback to be able to give him a chance. I believe this team is being built the right way, nice and slow. So I like the pieces that they've added. They still can add a couple more pieces. Still offensive line, there's some question marks. But they're off to a great start. Getting the prize possession in free agency this year was Le'Veon Bell, and the Jets got him signed.
And I know a ton of the discussion is going to be the money and the money he didn't pick up last year, and we'll get to that. But on your point about helping out Sam Darnold, of the free agent wide receivers available, was Le'Veon Bell the best one? Now, I understand he's a running back, but if you look at the guys who are available as pass catchers in free agency, was Le'Veon Bell the best guy to help Sam Darnold in that regard as well? Because I know the Jets signed Jamison Crowder, but we talked about it when the Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper. Remember, we looked at the 2019 NFL free agent list, and wide receiver was not deep. If they weren't going to trade for AB, if they weren't going to trade for Odell the way we saw the Browns do last night, I think they got a great running back, but if you're trying to help Sam Darnold, not just because you can hand the ball off, I think Le'Veon Bell is up near the top of the list of any pass catcher that was available on the market.
There weren't a lot of prime pass catchers available.
Right.
But it does speak to his overall ability. I think in the last 6 years, he's averaged 40 yards receiving a game. That's outstanding. But it not only helps Sam Darnold, because I think they're going to go with their young wide receivers on the outside. They tendered our boy Robbie Anderson.
They have Quincy Enunwa. Yeah, they signed Jamison Crowder.
Quincy outside. Crowder's going to play the slot. But what L. Bell does, he not only helps out the quarterback, but he helps out that offensive line. So he might be the best pass catching receiver available. That's up for someone else to debate. But what he can do helps out that offensive line, and it helps out Sam Darnold.
So the Jets, they traded for Osemele, the offensive guard from the Oakland Raiders, was on the tail end of a very expensive contract. We mentioned that they assigned Jamison Crowder. They upgraded the defense with C.J. Mosley. They thought they were getting Anthony Barr. He ended up going, obviously, back to the Vikings. But this is the process, and the process has to be give Darnold some help. At the end of last year, Darnold, the last quarter of the season, played well. His passer rating jumped up 20-plus points. He only had one interception the final 4 weeks of the year. You were starting to see, okay, he's coming into his own after that foot injury. And so you now have a real difference maker on defense, or on offense, that defenses have to account for. And for Le'Veon on the money side of things, This is the most guaranteed money any running back has ever gotten, and he becomes, on an annual basis, the second highest paid running back in the league, just behind Todd Gurley. So even if it's shy of the $16 to $17 million per year that reportedly he had been looking for each of the last two offseasons, the $35 million guaranteed was right around the number both you and I said yesterday we thought his contract would end at, even if the annual value was higher. So maybe a little disappointment that he didn't get to $65 million, had to settle for around $53 million. But the guaranteed money is what was key. It's what the Steelers were not offering. And he got $35 million from the Jets.
Do you think L. Bell thought he would fetch more on the open market than he did?
Yeah, absolutely. Last night, talking to some people, the market wasn't there for him. Either from a, they were not going to make him a wide receiver, because that was one of the things that he wanted, why he didn't want the franchise tag. He said, I'm more than a running back, trying to reset the running back market. But he wasn't able to do that because teams didn't agree with him. And there's some other things teams didn't like. They didn't like the fact that he didn't play last year. Didn't like the fact that he's been in the drug program. Could be suspended. So there were a number of things that kept his annual salary out of being $17 million, $16 million, which a lot of people thought, because there were so many teams that had dollars available, it was some of the other stuff that prevented him from being able to fetch that big number.
When you see that this is what it took to get him, are you surprised the Colts didn't match this offer?
No, because if you read everything that the Colts have been saying, they don't want to sign high-priced guys. They looked at last year's free agency, and people who judged last year's free agency, people wouldn't know this, but they would say, man, the Colts were one of the best teams. They got a couple starters, Eric Ebron. They got some secondary help. Both of these guys were frontline players for them. Ebron played to a Pro Bowl level. They had said they want to do it nice and slow. They want to build it the right way. So even though you might think Indy's a good fit, I mean, you have to read the tea leaves. When they're saying they're going to build it nice and slow, they're not going to make that type of investment. So for me, I wasn't as high on Indy as I was on San Francisco and the Jets. Those are the two teams at the end of the day, not Baltimore. San Francisco 49ers, they made a bid for him. It wasn't as high, but the Jets were the biggest offer. So it wasn't like he took some type of discount.
No.
He went to the highest bidder.
He was always going to go to the highest bidder. I thought maybe the Colts or the Texans could have involved themselves in that high bidding. On the Colts' point, we saw with the deal they just gave Devin Funchess, where I think a lot of people think, wow, 1 year, $10 to $13 million for Funchess. The 1 year is the key there. The Colts clearly have the philosophy of, we are not going to give huge dollar multi-year deals. And so this would have, I guess, fallen in that category.
Well, they haven't found a player that they're going to give that deal
Correct.
To.
Correct, right. They're not going to rush to give that deal. So when you give Funchess a one-year deal, what you're essentially doing is rolling that cap space over to next year.
And you don't mess up your salary cap. You don't get T.Y. Hilton coming back asking for more money. Because if you pay him a lot more money than you're paying T.Y. Hilton, they don't have nearly the same resume. So they're making sure that they don't set a bad precedent for the team.
But the appetite for him wasn't where we all thought it was. He didn't get an offer from the Texans. The Ravens didn't make an offer. The Colts were clearly out of it. The Niners weren't really there at the end when they saw what the Jets were going to offer. Does that surprise you at all, that at the end, for a guy that's 27 years old and seemingly has a year of rest and has a whole future ahead of him?
Well, I think the year of rest clearly worked against him. And this is something Chris talked about a lot when he was taking the time off.
Football players play football. Basketball players, they hoop. We haven't seen people start taking time off, and we saw that enhance their career. So we got all these years of experience to think that he was going to be the one. The NFL looked at it and said, no, we don't think he's going to.
The people that run football teams clearly share that philosophy with Chris much more than what I was saying, which was, I totally understood what Le'Veon Bell did last year. I totally understood the idea of not wanting to go back to a team where you'd been the most used running back on a per-game basis in NFL history, where you had no guarantee money after this season, where you could potentially be used as a rental car because they knew you weren't coming back, because you thought you wanted, and by the way, he was right on the guaranteed money, you had a big guaranteed payday coming next. Now, if he would have known this is the contract offer he gets, would he have played last year? We'll never know the answer to that question. And what would he have gotten if he had played last year? Clearly, his best case scenario would have been play, stay healthy, stay productive, and then go get this contract.
And $14 million.
Of course. That's why it would have been. Now, his worst case scenario would have been play, suffer a significant injury, and only see that $14 million as significant earnings the rest of his career. But when he made the calculation, he and his agent, to not play last year, I think they thought it was going to be more like 5 years, $70 million, and that would compensate for the $14 million lost.
All right, Le'Veon Bell is headed here to New York. He will be a New York Jet, but more news out of New York. Big news, Odell traded to Cleveland. That's next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on Sirius XM. We'll be right back.
This Saturday night, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year. Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Errol Spence Jr. takes on Mikey Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship live from AT&T Stadium. Spence Jr. versus Garcia, Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now.
All right, biggest story out of the NFL last night. Less than 2 weeks after Giants GM Dave Gettleman said the team didn't sign Odell Beckham to trade him, the Giants signed Odell Beckham and traded him. Beckham is headed to the Browns for a first and third round pick along with Jabril Peppers. No one more excited than Beckham's former LSU teammate Jarvis Landry, who sent out this picture on Instagram with the caption, "It feels good, OBJ, I love you, brother." Baker put this picture on the gram. You're right. Baker and his new weapons right here. Nick, what was your reaction to the deal? There was a lot on Instagram and Twitter from a bunch of players reacting, which we'll see in a little bit. But your reaction to the deal?
What an absolute win for the Cleveland Browns. This is a team that was 1-31 for two seasons and then fired their coach midway through last season. And now all of a sudden, they have the 8th best Super Bowl odds, according to sportsbooks in Vegas. They're at 14-1. They are right now.
They were 25-1 before.
And
the day before they got Odell, and now 14-1.
And they were 100-1 to start last season.
Yeah.
And so it speaks to, there is no 5-year plan in the NFL now. Turn it around quick. Get your quarterback, spend your money, turn it around quick. I love the move for Cleveland. For the New York Giants, it's very simple. It's just a total rebuild built around a 38-year-old quarterback, of which there is no track record of that ever working in football at any level, not even senior league football. You don't want to rebuild around a 38-year-old quarterback. It is, this is the type of move where if a coach or a GM ends up getting fired, when the article is written about in the New York Post or the New York Daily News, in the first couple paragraphs they mention 13 days after committing to Odell Beckham long-term and 10 months after giving him the biggest contract in franchise history for a non-quarterback, they traded Odell Beckham Jr. for the 17th pick, the 95th pick, and Jabril Peppers, a box safety. Like, that is the Giants going to have to prove it to me now. They've got two players from every draft they made prior to 2016, a long snapper and Eli, who evidently is going to outlast everybody. I don't know what the Giants are doing. I love the move for the Cleveland Browns. That was my initial reaction when I heard about it last night.
It's a great move for the Cleveland Browns. The best move that they've made as a franchise. I would say, I would take the top 5 moves in franchise history, and this one would be one of them. One of their biggest moves when they lost the franchise, getting the franchise awarded back, that they were going to have football. But since then, I would say this is probably the biggest decision. Now, people will say, man, the Baker Mayfield, but them putting together this team. So let's give credit right from the top, because when good organizations do well, we always give credit to the ownership. Jim Haslam, as the owner there, man, he's gotten a lot of criticism through the years. He's made a lot of mistakes. The other businesses that he's in, he did not know that the NFL was the way. So he's made some colossal mistakes. Executives, coaches, players, how he was doing things. But he has the right guy in Dorsey as the general manager and allowing him to be able to, operate with the flexibility to build them a monster. Like, they have woke up a sleeping beast in Cleveland, and you have to be able to give credit to the ownership there in Dorsey. Dorsey will be executive of the year. If you look at what he's done in the short period of time, transforming this team from one of the worst franchises to being, now they have legitimate Super Bowl. Now, to me, this is not one of those off seasons like the Washington Redskins had, where we see people go out and spend $100 million in trying to buy a Super Bowl. No, this is someone trying to buy themselves a franchise and get some credibility back in the NFL with the young talent that they have. If you look at their star players, They got so many great players under the age of 25. They have more great players under the age of 25 than anyone in the National Football League. I'm excited about the Cleveland Browns, and I'm really excited because one of the best talents we've seen come into the league in Baker Mayfield, he's been getting ready to get supported like no quarterback that I've seen, because this reminds me of Troy Aikman when he was in Dallas. And he took that beat down. They end up adding Michael Irvin to that team because he was injured, so he wasn't there when they lost. And then they drafted Emmitt Smith, and they had the triplets going forward. This is the way the Cleveland Browns can look. They can look a lot like the Dallas Cowboys look in those great teams.
When C mentions triplets, obviously they've got Nick Chubb, but they signed Kareem Hunt. Now, Kareem Hunt is going to probably be suspended at the beginning of the year, but John Dorsey, a guy who was in Kansas City when they got Kareem Hunt, from a football perspective, that is a great move for them. So you also add the other things they've done this offseason. How about bringing in Olivier Vernon?
Absolutely.
How about yesterday during the show, Sheldon Richardson came over for them. So all of a sudden you are building. When we've seen other teams have a monster free agent or monster offseason, it's usually by, well, the way the Giants did a few years ago on defense, you're overpaying for your talent. The other aspect for this for the Browns just quickly is because the Giants paid the whole signing bonus.
Yeah.
They get Beckham at $15 million per year. Now, I know there's questions, how long will he play under $15 million per year if he will come to them at some point and want more money. But right now...
Oh, he will definitely come to them before this contract is over with.
Oh, before it's over, for sure. Like, it just is kicking in now. There's no... But he won't come to them this year.
We don't know that, Nick.
Okay.
There are some stuff out there that he's not happy with the overall number. All right? There was a report last night. So it's not that he might not report, but he might not be happy after seeing Antonio. Julio Jones is getting ready to get a bump. Michael Thomas in New Orleans.
And Tyreek's going to reset the market.
So. Yeah, so don't just.
Okay, I would be surprised if he goes to him this season. My point is, regardless, they're not overpaying right now for Beckham. They got him for 15. They got him for 5 years, $72 million, as the contract is currently written, with nothing guaranteed after this season.
We had some questions about Jarvis Landry last year and what he was able to do. But Adam Henry, their receivers coach, actually coached both these guys, Landry and Odell, back at LSU. How potent does that make this offense now, that those two guys can work well together, and you have Baker, and you have what you already had from last year?
Yeah, they have a tremendous amount of things that you want as a coach. You have people in the building that are very familiar with Odell, and their wide receiver coach is a huge part of that. That's why John Dorsey, because I met with him last year. I did week number 14, Cleveland versus Carolina. I met with the wide receiver coach, and we talked about Odell. And he wanted Odell. He wanted to be able to trade for Odell at some point. He likes him. He's been knowing him since he was a kid. And Odell's had great success with him. He got the best out of Jarvis Landry and the rest of that receiving core last year. I don't think people understand when you're a young quarterback and you are able to add weapons. You got a stellar running back in Nick Chubb from University of Georgia coming off a rookie season. Offensive line that is really underrated. Underrated enough that they could trade one of their guards for Olivier Vernon because that's how much talent that they have up front. So their tight end is emerging as a threat. He can run. So, man, they got a track team. They can throw some people at you offensively, but let's not forget, I believe the Cleveland Browns, kind of hidden gem to this, their defense, I believe, is going to be a top 10 defense. Oh. We'll talk about the offense, but their defense is full of young playmakers also. And trading for Olivier Vernon was kind of the start of getting some more young players on defense, I believe, is going to be very, very good.
And that goes back to your original point, which is credit to John Dorsey. One of the blue chippers on that defense was a guy when they drafted him, I was like, wait, what? At 4, you're taking Denzel Ward. You're not taking Bradley Chubb. You're taking the corner out of Ohio State. He was awesome last year. We know how good Myles Garrett is. That guy is 12 sacks a year waiting to happen if it's not already happening. Then you add, you find a pass rusher in Olivier Vernon through the trade market. You find Sheldon Richardson through free agency. Like, there you go now. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, those are, I would say, two no-doubt blue chippers in Garrett and Ward, and two, whatever one degree below blue chipper is in the two players they added in free agency, in Olivier Vernon and Sheldon Richardson. So there's your defense.
Right.
And on offense, Baker, last quarter of the season now, top 6 in passer rating, top 8 in yards per attempt. Like, Baker was good immediately, but he was really good late. This is a team that, man, all they need is Joe Thomas to put 80 pounds back on and come out of retirement.
That's not going to happen. But I can guarantee you today, with March 13th, Baker Mayfield woke up and said, man, I'm feeling dangerous.
Oh, yeah, he did. Browns best team in the division right now?
Oh, they were best team yesterday.
Nice. Take a break. Coming up, back to our other top story. Are the Jets contenders in the AFC after signing Le'Veon Bell? That is next on First Things First. Tonight, the first round of the Big East tournament tips off on FS1 as Butler takes on Providence. Then DePaul squares off against St. John's. It all starts at 7 Eastern on FS1 and on the Fox Sports app. Time for us to go viral. In the news that shocked the sports world yesterday, Odell Beckham traded from the Giants to the Browns. His new teammate, Myles Garrett, tweeted out a gif of the GOAT, Michael Jordan, being surprised. Other reactions
Young
include
MJ.
Jalen Ramsey said, I can't even say what I want to say. Just, wow, this is a crazy business.
What you want to say, Jalen? Since when do we know Jalen to bite his tongue?
Jets.
Somebody come trade for me.
I think that's what he was trying to say there. Go ahead, Jenna. Sorry.
Jets safety Jamal Adams tweeted, wow, no loyalty in this game. And from the NBA, guard Bradley Beal tweeted, damn, the Browns offense is loaded.
Why are you cursing this morning, Jenna?
I never know when to actually read the tweet and when not to read the tweet. All right, brother? I'm learning as we... as we go on.
Oh, brother.
If I said brother, you wouldn't have. Time now for stories to start your morning.
You're fine, Jenna.
The aforementioned biggest story out of the NFL last night, Odell headed to the Browns. In return, Giants get a first round and a third round pick along with Jabril Peppers. Beckham will be paired with Baker Mayfield, who set the record for rookie touchdown passes last year without Odell. All right, see, how much will Odell Beckham help Baker moving forward?
Yeah, we just can't concentrate on Odell. We have to concentrate on all the talent they have around him. But Odell Beckham, he's the best in the league at running the slant pattern. Last year, Baker Mayfield won the best in the league. One of his best throws is throwing the slant. He demands double coverage, so he will open up things for the running game. Football just got a lot easier for all the offensive players for the Cleveland Browns.
And you're talking about the slant pass, which is short and one of the easier passes. Baker was the highest-rated quarterback in football last year on deep passes, completing 34 of them. Eli obviously struggled with that mightily, so that's a part of Odell's game we will see come back to a degree. Baker, the last half of the season, second in yards per attempt, sixth in passer rating, and that was with his number one receiver, Jarvis Landry, who will now be his number two receiver. Baker had to be maybe the person most thrilled about this news.
All right, to the NBA last night, LeBron James put on a show against the Chicago Bulls. He scored 36 points. He had 10 rebounds and a 123-107 win. Nick, if LeBron is going to keep playing, what, if anything, does he still have to prove?
Well, what he can show is that athleticism as a recruitment tool for these free agents, for people that are on the side of, you know, is the demise of LeBron James beginning before our eyes? If he is going to play, he needs to play well, and he needs to play with energy to remind anyone that might want to come play there next season what version of LeBron they're getting, which is the version of LeBron we've seen the last 12 to 14 years.
Jenna, this is all about personal pride. The NBA players, they got a good feel for where they're going to go this offseason. But this is still a big risk. We saw KD roll his ankle the other night, just trying to throw a pass. When you're out there, the chance of LeBron James getting hurt, they are real. This is just ego. LeBron didn't like where he was. Doesn't want the reputation of, I quit on the Lakers. I play hard every night after playing 82 games last season. That's what this is about more than anything else. But it is a tremendous risk for the Los Angeles Lakers to put 23 on the court for these last, 14 games they have.
All right, finally, back to the Le'Veon Bell news. He's set to join the Jets next season, one of the best dual threats in the league the last couple of years, hoping to give a hand to second-year quarterback Sam Darnold. Keep in mind, Bell missed the entire 2018 season, but in the 5 years prior, he had more total yards per game than any running back in nearly 50 years, while the Jets were nearly last in all rushing categories. Le'Veon tweeted this out last night, I'm back in the green, baby, let's get it. Michigan State guy. See, how good of a fit is Le'Veon with the Jets?
He's a great fit for them because they're not spending a lot of money on offensive players. Their wide receivers aren't making a lot of money. Their quarterback's on his rookie deal in Sam Darnold. And an offensive line standpoint, we saw them make the trade earlier in the week to get, if he would have been a free agent, one of the best guards that would have been available in pro football in trading for him coming from the Raiders. So,
Smelly.
Yeah, they have the ability now to have some type of balance. Last season when you saw the Jets playing, you weren't concerned about their running game. Everything was geared on making things very complicated for Sam Darnold, forcing them into turnovers, don't let them generate any big plays. So he is a very good fit. After they signed Crowder as their third receiver, slot receiver, to be able to move the chains, you need someone like L. Bell, that not only the consistent running threat, but what he does, the defenses and the fear he puts in them, if you put a linebacker, you put a safety on them. As we saw in the last game he played in against Jacksonville, that shootout that they had with Jacksonville Jaguars, he was the best player on the field, making plays all over, throwing the ball outside as a wide receiver, deep down, scoring touchdowns. So I look for the Jets to be able to utilize Adam Gase. What he does is offense. I look for him to utilize him in a variety of different ways. He will line up from sideline to sideline, and 400 touches is getting ready to be on his resume this year.
And Le'Veon Bell said, evidently, that he grew up looking up to, and one of his favorite players was Curtis Martin. He now becomes the best Jets running back since Curtis Martin.
And Curtis Martin had a huge influence on him deciding with the Jets. Curtis Martin, very soft-spoken, one of my favorite Hall of Famer, the type of guy, always classy, always about something positive. Curtis did get involved in the recruitment of him, and L. Bell said growing up as one of his heroes, that helped him make that decision to sign with the Jets.
And one of the other reasons the Jets struggled as much as they did last year was only three teams in football turn the ball over more than them. They had 30 turnovers last season. One way you can prevent turning the ball over is having a running back you can reliably hand the ball to rather than relying on your rookie or now second-year quarterback to have to make all the plays. And for the Jets, it's all about, right, the building around Sam Darnold, giving Sam Darnold the best chance to succeed. That's why they traded for Kalijah Osemele early in the week, to add to that offensive line. That's why they went out and signed Jamison Crowder, even though I think they like Quincy Enunwa, and they wanted to keep Robbie Anderson, but you wanted to add more, I guess, diversity to the offense. Le'Veon Bell was the best offensive player available in free agency by a wide margin. Like, I mean, the next best, who was it? Nick Foles? Like, and that's a player that obviously the Jets are not going to be in the market for. And they got him for what I consider a fair price. I don't think $35 million guaranteed is too much for Le'Veon Bell. And I know $13 million per year is near the top of the running back market, but he's at the top of the running back position. And so do I think you can get all pro caliber production from Le'Veon Bell for at least the next two seasons? I do. Do I think this gives Sam Darnold the best chance to become the best version of himself? I do. Now, I'm sure they still would like to add at some point a dynamic number one receiver. I know they want to improve that offensive line. Like, the Jets are far from a finished product, but this is money well spent. And because the Jets had so much cap space, they don't have to. They haven't released the way they formatted this contract. I guarantee you they didn't make it to where it's totally backloaded, to where there's a contract that in year three it kills you. They're going to be able to format it similar to what the Niners did with Jimmy Garoppolo, which is where you take a significant hit in year one, so it becomes even more friendly in years two, three, and four.
If this is really all to help Sam Darnold and to help Adam Gase in structuring that offense, how much does the fact that he's such a short yardage weapon help Sam Darnold early in the games, getting the ball out, not turning it over, just giving him that confidence to stay in games and to make a dent next year?
Yeah, we mentioned Sam because the league is about quarterbacks. And how are you going to support the quarterback? Offensively, how are you going to support him? Offensive line, how are you going to support him from a pass standpoint? That's the reason why we keep saying Sam, Sam, Sam. But we could say the head coach, Adam Gase. When they decided to hire him, how's he going to be able to implement the type of offense? And we could see last year, just through a number of injuries, and Tannehill wasn't able to stay healthy for him. But when he had a healthy quarterback, man, they put up numbers in Miami. I don't think people knew that. But you need a dynamic player like Le'Veon Bell to be able to start it. Everyone in the AFC East is like, how do we beat New England? Keep the ball from Tom Brady. So over the years, let me tell you what they have not done. Buffalo, Miami, and are the Jets. They didn't have enough of a running game that they could play keep away from Tom Brady. You can't outscore Tom Brady. You got to be able to keep the ball away from him. Now the Jets really have that type of plan that they can go to week in and week out, because he has shown us that he has durability in him. He can handle 300 carries. Well, that's what he's always done.
That when you said get ready for 400 touches, like, that's a big number. But he's the player that has averaged more touches per game than any player in league history. His average game over his career is 25 touches. 25 times 16 is 400. Like, he has averaged over a 16-game season 400 touches. To your point on short yardage, I think it's a key point, because your pal, the guy Warren Sharp on Twitter, makes this point all the time, which is almost the entire key to football, if you want to break it down the most simplistic way on the offensive side, is stay on the field. Continue to generate first downs. Continue to generate those opportunities. And there is nothing more, I want to say, emotionally crushing almost for when you're watching your team play and it's third and short and you can't pick it up. You got to be kidding. We're going to give the ball back to Tom Brady because we couldn't pick up 18 inches, really. So people think of short yardage as goal line. It's not always goal line. Sometimes it's on your own 34-yard line, just trying to move the sticks one more down. The Jets haven't had a reliable guy in that regard in a very long time. Le'Veon's as good as, even though he's so patient, right, he waits for the hole, he's as good as anyone in football at that exact thing, which every team needs someone like that. He's one of the best at it.
All right, let's move on to the NBA. Big game tonight between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. Golden State will be without Kevin Durant in this one as he continues to nurse a sprained ankle. This is one of those games where you want to come out and make a statement. Steph Curry going so far as to call it a statement game. Nick, you buying tonight as a statement game for the Warriors?
Not for the 2018-19 Warriors, not with no Kevin Durant out there. Now, maybe if you want to see what the Warriors might look like next year against the Houston Rockets, tonight could be an interesting example, because I don't think I think this team, except for Boogie Cousins being out there tonight, is going to look a lot like next year's Warriors team. But this isn't going to be a fair fight. Just like if we found out tonight Harden wasn't playing, we wouldn't say, oh, the Rockets, what are you going to do? The Rockets are right now the hottest team in the league. The Warriors are without. They're either best or second best player, depending on your taste. And they're playing a team that has really the only team in the league that's
played.
Has a winning record against them over the last 2 years. So I understand why the Warriors, they should not rush Kevin Durant back. They don't have to win this basketball game. They beat Houston in this building to go to the NBA Finals last year. So they have nothing to prove to Houston. And you could argue for Houston, like, you don't want to give Houston another opportunity to beat you full strength. Let Kevin Durant nurse that ankle. Don't try to. The only thing that would make the Warriors an underdog, they could lose, but the only thing that would make them an underdog in a playoff series this year is Steph, KD, or Klay going down with an injury to where they have to miss time in a playoff series. So Kevin Durant's not out there, so I don't think this can be a statement game because it's not a fair fight.
See, we're starting to hear maybe a few little cracks in the armor. You made reference to something Steph said the other day. It's this, you know, what's happening to our team? We've got to come together. We really have to play. I mean, they're starting to take the end of this season a little more seriously than they did last year, that we got to get this all working if we're going to be the same team we were last year. And isn't Houston a big enough game for them to do that, coming off that Suns loss they had?
It is a big game for them, and you can start to see the messaging. In the last 15 game, it changes. Steve Kerr, he said something. Kevin Durant, and the night he got hurt, he said something, even if he was leaving the court. They realize what's going on. They're the world champs. But there's a reason why teams have struggled trying to three-peat. Broussard talks about it all the time. Mentally, how can you stay focused in the whole year? But they're still the most talented basketball team. Back to the statement game, though, I do believe this is a statement game. And for the reason of, you have a team that's the only team in the NBA that's been competitive with you the last 2 years. We don't have Kevin Durant. Well, what if Golden State wins this game? You would have a hell of a lot of confidence in being like, man, you know something? We beat them. We were focused. We beat them without Kevin Durant. So when you're playing in games like this, you have professional pride. There are things that they can gain from it. Their rotations, how they're going to play defense, how they're going to defend Harden. It will give them a snapshot of what they're going to do moving forward. And I can tell you, if they leave the court with a victory, it will be a tremendous confidence boost for them. They've been like, man, we're so much better than them, even though they have an 8-5 record against them the last 2 years. So I'm not like Nick. Every time I go onto the court, onto the field, I believe there's an opportunity to be able to make a statement. And when you're undermanned, there's an opportunity to make even a bigger statement. We are the world champs. Kevin Durant is not here. We were actually world champs before we got him. So I do believe there's a chance to send a message there.
Vincent Goodwill was on this show yesterday and said, he talking to guys on the Warriors, the Rockets aren't the team. They don't fear anybody, is what he said. But that the Rockets aren't the team they're even the most concerned with. That it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I think that's foolish on their behalf. And I believe that Vincent has his information correct. If the Warriors go to Houston and beat them without Kevin Durant, it will speak to in that regard. I was looking at it from the perspective of it is the Warriors are in a bad way right now. A loss tonight, to me, you can almost throw it away because KD's not out there. Now, a win might mean something for him in that regard, even more so because Kevin Durant's not out there. But the Rockets should win tonight. The Rockets have been able to beat this team.
That's what everyone's saying. That's why it could be such a boost for someone like Clay, someone like Steph. Man, we were balling before KD got here because there's a certain amount of credit that's been taken away from Steph. Last two finals, who was the MVP?
Kevin Durant.
Oh, the guy that was hurt. Steph could come out there and have a message game against Chris Paul. I believe it's going to be a shootout because anytime you face this type of competition, you want to bring out the best. Boogie Cousins, it's important to watch him. Draymond in this game. So tremendous opportunity for Golden State. Shorthanded, they were able to get a win tonight in Houston.
All right, good stuff. We'll break there coming up. Can Odell Beckham make the Browns one of the best teams in the league? That's ahead on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, Super Bowl champ Chris Caney joins the show.
Good to see you. It's been a while I've been on set with you
guys. Let's see, what's happened since you left? Oh, Jets won.
They lost and they won. Thought they signed Anthony Barr. That didn't happen.
But
they did win the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm. Between the Jets and the Giants, we had a lot of news. Let's start with Odell. After 5 years in New York, he is headed to Cleveland, Chris. Nice city, good people, can't complain. Beckham to the Browns for what? First rounder, third rounder, and Jabril Peppers. So where does that leave the Giants now? Well, they've got Saquon. They've got a 38-year-old Eli. They don't have much else. Here's what Giants general manager Dave Gettleman had to say about the possibility of trading Odell 2 weeks ago.
We didn't sign Odell to trade him, okay? So I know that's all over the place. So understand that, and that's all I need to say about that.
All right, Kenny, take us through a little bit of what the Giants are thinking here. From the outside, it looks like, well, they're just in clear rebuilding mode. But take us through it a little bit.
I'm going to try to explain it, and this is me speculating. There's some of it that I just don't understand, like letting Landon Collins walk in free agency and not at least getting some type of draft compensation for him. But that's another story for another day. But based on the moves that Dave Gettleman has made since last year's trade deadline, I think it's clear that this team is rebuilding. And of course, I think that when you look at the roster, they're in bad shape. I mean, there's a reason why this team has lost 50 games in the last five seasons. So, I mean, this is a bad football team, and I think that trading Odell Beckham Jr. is a part of accelerating the rebuild process. So I guess that's the only thing that I can come away with. You do pick up a first-round pick, and you get a third-round pick. In addition, you replace Landon Collins with Jabril Peppers. But if we're going to grade this trade, I think I have to give it an incomplete, because I don't know what Dave Gettleman is going to do with the draft capital that he acquired. If he uses the draft capital to try to put this franchise in position to draft a successor for Eli Manning, then I think it makes sense. Otherwise, I think that this is a mistake.
But here's the problem with even giving that level of benefit of the doubt. There isn't a logical path of decision making. It is Dave Gettleman's job when he gets the New York Giants to assess the roster and figure out if it's going to be in full teardown mode. Mm-hmm. And if it is, then Coach Mangini told you what the plan should have been with Beckham. Make him play that fifth-year option, franchise tag him the next year, and you can flip him if you want to at that point. Or you can make him play under that. That you mentioned Landon Collins. Even if you don't want to keep Landon Collins, the Chiefs didn't want to keep Dee Ford. They franchise tagged him, got a future second-round pick for him. So if you are in rebuild mode, then you need to act accordingly. And the elephant in the room is the guy we see throwing those passes. How are you in rebuild mode when Eli Manning is taking a $23 million year cap next year and he's 38 years old? How are you in rebuild mode where now 20% of your cap next season goes to Eli Manning, who's 38, and Odell Beckham, who's not on the team? Like, that does not make sense. There, if you're in rebuild mode, then you know what? You might try to salvage things with Eli Apple. There has not been a consistent decision flow from Dave Gettleman, and there has not been a consistency in messaging from Dave Gettleman. And so I understand the idea of, hey, if they turn the 17th pick, as you said, if they trade 6 and 17 to move up and they get Haskins, Haskins turns into a superstar, then nobody talks about it anymore. As Bill Barnwell mentioned yesterday, Cleveland fans always talked about, we missed out on Carson Wentz, we missed out on Deshaun Watson. Then they got Baker Mayfield, nobody cared anymore. So, yeah, a great quarterback can fix all of it, but they do not have consistency in what their approach has been, which has to make Giants fans feel like, do we really have a plan, or are we going with the wind on this?
Well, here's the thing. You got to remember, Dave Gettleman got a boss, too. And so I don't know what the mandate was when he took the job. A part of why Giants ownership hired Dave Gettleman is because he has some familiarity with the organization. He understands Giants' DNA. Mm-hmm. And so I think a part of that was being on board with the decision to try to give Eli Manning every opportunity to have success last year. That's why you took a running back with the second overall pick.
You don't take
a running back with the second overall pick unless you think you got a quarterback. And they thought they had a quarterback. Now, clearly they were wrong. They don't have somebody at that position that can elevate the play of everybody around them. But in terms of why they kept Eli Manning on the books for $23 million this year when they're clearly rebuilding, I think Dave Gettleman gave you some insight in that at the Combine when he said, we like the Kansas City Chiefs model. We're going to draft a quarterback in the first round and let him sit behind a veteran quarterback and learn. So I think that's possibly what he's thinking and why Eli Manning is still making the kind of money he's making in 2019.
Yeah, that's what he's thinking. And then also at the Combine, you have to be able to decipher in what's true and what's false. Because at the Combine, it's from a history standpoint. That's where NFL coaches, scouts, agents, that's all they do is lie. Dave Gettleman got right to that mic and said, hey, you know something? We didn't sign him to trade him. They tell big lies at the Combine. Mm-hmm. That was one of them. Now, back to your point as far as are they rebuilding. I believe that when they hired Gettleman, they did hire him because not only does he have the resume, but he's familiar with the Giants and how they do business. When he took over the roster, it was clear they were not rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went through the season, and he realized, wow, you know something? We might need to change this. And in this conversation with the Mara family, I believe that they came to the conclusion, we're ready to rebuild. That's why they get off the high-ticket item in Olivia Vernon, trade him out of town, because he was not producing to the type of salary. That's why you draft Barkley when you have an aging Eli Manning. But they're not rebuilding now. They're like an expansion team now. I can understand the Landon Collins, let's franchise him. You can't trade him at the trade deadline if you don't have anyone. But if you don't want him, you have to franchise him to be able to get some compensation moving forward. But I do believe in this deal, he's going to get four positional players because Peppers is going to be a starting safety, plays close to the line of scrimmage, a lot like Landon Collins, but he also returns punts. So that's two spots. He's got two draft picks. The first and the third. If he doesn't try to parlay that to move up, he should get two starters and he should get his franchise quarterback. So if he's able to get four positional players, three starters out of this for Odell Beckham, they did the right thing. Because I'm just going to tell you about Odell Beckham. You mentioned this, that he always had a wandering eye. I talked to him at the Super Bowl.
He had a wandering eye.
He thought that they were going to trade him. Yeah. I told him, man, you should be concentrating on being a Giant, being the best Giant ever. He was like, Unc, I'm telling you, I think they're going to trade me. And I told him, no, they're not going to trade you. Mm-hmm. I was wrong in that. So the Giants are in full-blown expansion.
Right. Expansion. See, what did you say they were, like a USFL team?
Well, it's like
AAF team?
No.
When the USFL started, you had college team that had territorial rights. Teams that you had a group of colleges that were close to your school, like the New Jersey Generals. They had Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump owning them, they claimed me. They had my rights and everything. That's why I was going to come out of school and everything. But that's what they have now with Barkley. They inherited him from Penn State.
Right. They
got an agent.
Territorial rights for Saquon. But here's the other part of it. You mentioned Eli. When you said Dave Gettleman has a boss, Is his boss, are you talking about John Mara or are you talking about Eli Manning? Who's the boss?
No, I'm talking about, okay,
so it's John Mara. Well, then I would imagine then John Mara would like him to go to Eli Manning before this roster bonus is due in 4 days and say, we need you to take a pay cut. We are in rebuilding mode. We do need offensive linemen. That right tackle, Darrell Williams from the Carolina Panthers, he's available. So there are still some decent players available in free agency. Hell, free agency doesn't even technically begin for another few hours. You don't need to make $23 million next year. And as I understand some of it's bonus, some of it's so weak. Should they not go to Eli and say, you're going to become this year the highest paid player in the history of pro football? The New York Giants have paid Eli Manning already more money than any team has ever paid any player in the history of the game. Does he not warrant some salary reduction? Is that not fair if we're rebuilding? Is that not part, or is he just the untouchable?
It didn't matter if you had a championship team. Excuse me. It don't matter if you had a championship team. He should be taking a pay cut.
Just like his brother did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, so if you're trying to build a roster, Eli Manning's not playing to that level. If you're doing it out of respect, we gave him the last 2 years out of respect.
Yeah, you're right. That's what it is. And I think that's what it comes down to, the respect factor for what Eli Manning has done for the organization. But also, I don't think we can dismiss the human element and the emotional attachment that the owner has with Eli Manning, because he's the last remnant from the Ernie Accorsi, Wellington Mara era of Giants football. So I think that's got to be a part of it as well.
And the attachment Mara didn't have with Odell Beckham. And they had a somewhat contentious relationship, and you wonder if that was part of why he was traded. All right, Kenny, stick around. Coming up, did Le'Veon's contract prove he should have played last season? That's next on First Things First. Sunday, the Monster Energy Cup Series heads to Southern California, where the world's best drivers battle it out in the Auto Club 400. It all starts at 3:30 Eastern, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Breaking news late last night, Le'Veon Bell is going to be a New York Jet. 4 years, $52 million, $35 million of those dollars guaranteed. He will now make less per year, a little over $13 million, than he was slated to make under the Steelers franchise tag last year, and less than other offers the Steelers had made him previously. But he's got a new chapter to start now. Put this on the gram. Let's go. Life's a gamble. All right, Kenny, what was your reaction to the deal that Le'Veon got from the Jets?
Well, I thought it was outstanding by Mike Cagnan being able to land that plane and get Le'Veon Bell. I think he's the best skill position player that was on the free agent marketplace, but we didn't anticipate that he was going to settle for that number. A little over $13 million on average annual value on the contract. We thought it would be north of what the Pittsburgh Steelers offered him before the beginning of last year, which is $14 million, and I think $33 million in guaranteed money. Now, in terms of how Le'Veon Bell did in sitting out a year, did he do better than the Steelers offer to him? Yeah, he did better, but it was marginal in terms of the guarantee, because it's $33 million that the Steelers were offering him. He got $35 million guaranteed, which is in the first 2 years of the Jets contract.
Well, that's in dispute, though, because Le'Veon Bell and his people and the Steelers' admitted franchise philosophy is not guaranteeing money after the first year. And Le'Veon Bell and his agent have said the actual guarantees in that Steelers offer was $17 million. That it was 5 years, $70 million, so 14 per, like you said.
Yep.
But the true guarantees were $17 million.
Well, he didn't sign a contract, so I don't think we'll ever know that.
Correct.
We'll
I just wanted it to there is the Steelers were saying we offered him this, and he was saying they offered him that. And listen, if he would have played last year and been healthy, then he squandered $14 million. There's no way around that, right? Like, if he came through last year as a Pro Bowl-level player without any injury, he would have gotten, a similar deal this offseason and be 14.
No deal. Beckham got hurt. He got traded. It didn't affect his money. I don't think an injury, because there's only a few injuries that alter your career where, man, this guy can't play like that. Mm-hmm. And what running back have we seen, one of the top caliber running backs, when have we seen that happen? So we act as if all running backs have these catastrophic injuries and everything. To me, that $14 million, he should have got that. And if he didn't get that, he should have at least got seven. He should at least report it for at least half of that money, because there's no one out there, L. Bell and all these other people are trying to make a case for him. There's no one that can say, I can prove to you sitting out is going to help a running back in longevity.
On the
only
table.
Way this deal works out is if he changes the running back market and he gets somewhere north of $16 million a year. Mm-hmm. And then you can start to see, okay, now it makes sense. His deal he has now with the Jets did not make sense for him to sit out. The same thing I said the whole time. And if the contract has changed, I would have changed my opinion. But I'm right again on this
one. Well, hold on. In fairness, no one can prove he would have gotten this offer if he would have played. We can't prove something that is a hypothetical scenario. And while you're correct that there's not a long history of a lot of running backs suffering catastrophic injury at this point in their career, there is not a long history of 27-year-old running backs coming off the highest usage rate of any player per game in league history, resetting the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Like, he was concerned.
Okay, so what did he gain?
They were What he gained is the certainty of this $35 million. By not playing, he guaranteed himself he would not be injured playing football. He guaranteed himself he wouldn't have another 300, 400 touches on his body. Now, I'm not sitting here saying...
I'm trying to get the same guarantee with LeBron. Why don't we sit LeBron down and make sure he don't get hurt? Make sure we guarantee we get him to next year.
Well, so I think these are... We're kind of cross-pollinating here.
But it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. You're trying to make sure that LeBron is healthy next year. I can guarantee you.
So
that.
Then, hold on.
I can sit him down.
Right. And so, but because you think LeBron should sit and you think Le'Veon should have played. I think LeBron should play, and I think Le'Veon, I'm fine with him sitting. So obviously.
That's our world.
Right. Obviously, there can be, we can look at similar situations and look at them opposite, but there's no contradiction there. But
I can guarantee you this. If he was telling the truth, if he sat down last year in real time and we said, you got this option. You can sit out this year. You're going to get $13.5 million as a free agent. Only $33 million guaranteed. What would you do? Wow. He would have had to rethink that one because he thought he was going to change it. He wanted wide receiver money. He wanted $16 million a year, $15.5 million a year. That was never going to be a real possibility. I'm just from the beginning. I believe in playing. All right? In this instance, if I would have thought he was in great danger, like I would have been like, don't play. But he could have came at midpoint in the season, still got 7.25 of that. And if he had any type of woo-woo or anything, he could have told the trainer, you know something? I'm going to chill.
Yeah.
Now, I thought that was the best approach to take as far as preserving your overall ability. And based on talking to people who know more about this than me, the teams, it affected them. So you can say I'm wrong.
Well,
but the teams weren't wrong.
Well, here's the thing, and I think you're right in terms of what the market would bear because Le'Veon Bell didn't get what he expected. I think it was a calculated risk. I'm not going to begrudge him for taking that risk, but he did not reset the running back marketplace like he thought he would. Now, in terms of making those decisions, business decisions in real time during the season, I don't know if a player can have his mentality be that way and take that approach to the game. Just because when you're in the game, when you're in the locker room with your teammates, when you're in the heat of competition, you can't be thinking about things
and
in the offseason.
Isn't it hard to get it right when no one's ever done it? Because you're just guessing.
Well, yeah.
There's really no precedent. There's no one I can go to and talk to and be like, hey, man, what do you think about this?
Well, yeah, you are guessing. And Adisi Bakar and Le'Veon Bell took a calculated risk. And Adisi, because he does have Tevin Coleman, knew that he would control the running back market. His agent thought, okay, I know that I've got the top running back in the running back, and I've got the second guy in the running back market. So I'm going to be able to dictate this. But he thought the height of the marketplace would be a lot greater than what it was.
That part I agree with you, that Le'Veon thought that by sitting out, I guarantee myself 4 years, $60 million at least, not 4 years, $52 million, and maybe not $35 million, maybe $38 to $40 million guaranteed. You're calling it a calculated risk. I think a calculated risk would have been playing. I think this was a very expensive insurance policy. I think what this was, he spent $14 million to guarantee himself $30-plus million. Now, the gamble would have been, I'm going to take this $14 million, I'm not going to have any insurance policy, and maybe I double dip. Maybe I get the $14 million and the contract on the back end.
I just always believe in myself. I've just always been betting on myself, believing in myself. And if you get the $14 million, how much money do I really need? I only really need $20 million because I already got the $14 million in the bank. I got still more guaranteed money because with the $33
million,
I only need $20 million. Yeah. So if I play, I don't need that big contract. All I need is $20 million.
But the other aspect just quickly here is we're only talking about in the context of if he got hurt. When we talk about running backs, and it's one of the reasons he wasn't going to get paid like a wide receiver, we talk about the age, we talk about the longevity, we talk about how many carries do they have in them. And so even if he went last year without getting injured,
yep.
I think there's the strong possibility he doesn't have this offer because he's a year older with a year football older.
I doubt that. Football people, they paid people with less resumes. Landon Collins, an in-the-box safety, what? Go ahead.
I think with running,
what he's saying is the wear and tear, especially that's specific to the position.
You only need one fool in the NFL. They're not good at this free agency. Man, all these teams have money. You need one fool to be able to pay him. And some would have paid L. Bell more money even if he had an injury. I would say he missed 5 games with an MCL. He still would have gotten this contract. It's the NFL. These guys are predictable. When they have money, they will spend it. And they think they can make any great player resurrect their career.
Well, here's the thing. Le'Veon Bell got more in the first 2 years than Todd Gurley, and he got more in the first 4 years than Todd Gurley did. So he did eclipse those numbers, just not at the rate that we thought. But in terms of how you're seeing it, CC, and saying that a team is going to go out there and spend big money on a running back, I mean, based on what we saw from Todd Gurley at the end of the regular season and in the postseason, I think that just reiterates to what some of the general managers had already been thinking about the running back position in terms of the shelf life.
The Quan Alexander, linebacker Tampa Bay last year, did not San Francisco, did they not make him the highest paid linebacker?
Coming off a major injury.
It tore up his knee,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Look at the structure of that deal, though. Look at the structure of that deal, because they can get out of that deal for roughly around $14 million after one season.
Okay, but so even if I got the $14 million, you give me the other $14 million, I'm at $28. You said you only had $33 million guaranteed. That's what we're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I just know NFL people, man, and they buy damaged goods. We see that in the draft. All these kids, their personality, they getting ready to take them, and we saw that in free agency. That's why the Browns traded for Odell Beckham. Why? They disregarded all that stuff. Oh, man, we don't care. He's been hurt the last 2 years. They still trade a one, a three, and a starter for him. This is the NFL, man. They do not care.
You see the irony here, right? You would not have played if you were Lev Bell last year. You're the gambler.
I'm the gambler.
That is your
and
whole
mantra.
I'm not
mantra. Even saying I wouldn't have played. I'm saying I
it's
understand
it. It's who you are.
It.
It's your
true.
DNA.
I don't buy insurance. That's
Kenny, we'll see you later in the show. Coming up is tonight's game against the Rockets, a statement game for the world.
We got two right now.
Next. Welcome back to the show. Four-time WNBA All-Star and three-time champ Swin Cash joins us. Good morning, Swin.
And that three-time champ is correct. I'm not correcting you at all, Jenna, but that is just one fraction of the championships Swin Cash has won in her life. How many NCAA?
Two.
Gold medals?
Two.
Swin, we've had a number of guests on the show. I haven't seen these two as excited as they have been.
Oh, this is Swin's first appearance on the show, and she's one of the all-time greats in the sport. One of the all-time greats.
I'm happy to be here with you.
And we don't have enough women in sports to be able to give them the platform. So we have Kustak.
Yep.
She's a regular on the show. And now Swin, we hope to make her a regular on the show. That's what it's about. We have the platform to be able to share it with quality people. We like her work. Man, she's... So she should.
Welcome
she deserves
to first
it.
First things first.
Yes, she knows more
great
about basketball
you.
Than this fool.
Oh.
All right. We will get to the Warriors in a second.
If I could have got
first,
them fools in L.A. to cast her, it could have been
Cash
let's
talk
and
about
Chris.
This. Cash and Chris.
We could have auditioned you. Like, we could have had you on the marquee.
Can we talk about Joel Embiid real quick? We're doing highlights, Chris Carter.
Joel Embiid. Things are happening in the game.
Jenna, what happened? He missed the floater, but what did he not do?
Did not miss that.
There you go, Jenna Wolf. What else we got going on?
Lakers Bulls, LeBron, nice reverse slam off the bounce pass. Good to see LeBron up and moving again.
I can't think of Swin a 75-foot bounce pass alley-oop. Well, and technically, that's what that was.
Well, he hasn't had many of those this year, so I know he was happy to get out in transition without a defender near him.
I think the Lakers, I don't think they're dead yet, see? They just got to win 13 in a
it's
row.
Over,
they're
Nick.
Right back in this
it's over,
thing.
Nick. Right.
I thought
game,
you
LeBron.
Quit smoking.
Fast
oh, not
break
that.
Here. Catches the alley-oop off the backboard and wait, and a little shimmy.
The dunk's great. The shimmy is not. Not his best dance move. I'm telling you, man.
Like the move.
He's got to leave the shimmy to Steph. Antoine invented it, friend of the show. Steph perfected it. LeBron doesn't need to do the shimmy. It's not. It doesn't.
I was just surprised, though, because he's got such good rhythm and everything, and he is a dancer.
And that one just didn't work.
All right, moving on. Big game tonight between the Warriors and the Rockets. Golden State will be without Kevin Durant in this one. He continues to nurse that sprained ankle. It's one of those games where you want to come out, you want to make a statement. Steph Curry said, I hear you. He called it a statement game. Swin, you buying tonight is a statement game for the Warriors without KD in there?
I actually am. I'm buying it as a statement game, and I'll tell you why. Because when you don't have KD in the lineup, you're coming off a loss like you had against the Phoenix Sun. It can be a statement. Teams right now see a chink in the armor a little bit with the Warriors. They've had bad losses at home. They have went 2-5 since the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about a team to send a statement out. Sometimes you do it without being at full strength.
Oh, I like that. I think the possibility is there. And also, let's not forget the championship. Because I think this Golden State Warriors, they're looking forward to KD being gone because they got a lot more credit. And they did win a championship without KD. I believe in the head-to-head the last 2 years. Nick, you've been on top
Rockets
of this.
Rockets are 8-5.
Only team in the NBA with a winning record. Yep. And when you have a team that has that type of record against you and you're a little shorthanded, I'm from the same school of thought as you. With Steph and them being out there, Clay and them, if they get hot and go off in this game, it would be tremendous momentum. Forget the head-to-head, but just where the team is right now. They're in a rut, and they could use a lift or a boost of confidence.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I wanted to correct myself. They are 5-4 since the All-Star break, but they were 23% from the three against the Phoenix Suns. One of the reasons why they lost. So without KD, they'll have an opportunity for Klay and Steph to get hot, be able to shoot, and be able to show their offense is clicking on all cylinders.
And they, listen, they haven't won back-to-back games since February 12th.
Right.
And so obviously this wouldn't be a back-to-back win, but you got to win the first one in order to get that going. Now, here, you said earlier, Jenna, I'm a gambler. So I wouldn't, to use a gambling term, to me this is a house money game. And by that, I mean, if you win, everything you guys are saying is true. If you win, we did it without KD, a team that's been the only team with a winning record against us over the last 2 years. We beat them. We weren't at full strength. But if you lose, you have a built-in excuse. You have a built-in, the Rockets are at full strength. They're the hottest team in basketball. They've won 9 in a row. It's on their court. We are without our best or second-best player. So that, to me, it would be a better chance for a statement game if they were at full strength.
The problem with that, Nick, is most elite athletes don't feel that way. They're not looking for the excuse. They're expecting this to be able to go the other way. So they're not going to be like, oh, you know something, guys? It's okay to lose. Man, they're the world champions, and for a reason. They got the two-time MVP. Klay is a special, special player. They got two other all-stars. Like, the elite athletes, they just don't think that way, and they know that the Houston Rockets are coming at their head. So I believe that Golden State, in this environment tonight, that they're going to try to meet that intensity. Now, does it work out? No, it might not work out, but I definitely know that Steph and that roster, they're not going into this saying, you know something? We're a little shorthanded, and if we don't play well, oh, you know something? We were shorthanded. We got an excuse.
Well, guys, you have to keep this in mind. They have been talking about how they have to start revving it up, getting ready for the playoffs. We've heard it from Kerr. We've heard it from Klay. We've heard it from Steph. Now, the thing for me is when you look at this Golden State team, people are talking about, are they bored? Listen, we play sports. You can't get bored at any time, but what I can say is this. I lost a Game 5 championship, 20,000, at the Palace in Detroit. And that whole season, I kept saying, guys, we can't go off and on. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. But you can come out, you can shoot poorly and not be able to defend and lose a basketball game. People keep talking about, oh, can anybody?
Flip the switch.
Yeah, you can flip the switch or people can't beat them in 7 games. If you get bad chemistry, if you get guys not shooting well, anybody can be beat. I'm not saying that the Warriors can be. I still have them winning the championship, but there are possibilities. And when you lose to a Philadelphia team at home, when you lose to a Boston that bad at home, those are teams that are in the top echelon that are supposed to be meeting you in the finals.
Nick, we've had more and more people come on here and say, well, I'm still picking the Warriors, but I'm starting to worry. But boy, you know, they lose a game to the Suns after beating the Nuggets.
Because they all saw how bad I looked when I think I was the last person to pick
against
them. It was 2 years ago. Cavs in 5. I think I was the last public person to say the Warriors aren't going to win a championship, and I look like an idiot.
So lot of buts with this team, especially this late into the season.
Because here's the thing. They went into the year having, in the last 2 years, since they added Kevin Durant, they were only pressed once, the series against Houston. They had won 7 of their 8 series in 5 games or fewer. And seemingly they got better because they added an all-NBA caliber center. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because seemingly they got better, but Boogie Cousins has not been an improvement for them. He has made their offense worse, which is surprising to me. He has made their defense worse, which we probably should have anticipated to a degree. At full strength or not, I wonder if Boogie Cousins is playable in a series against the Houston Rockets with how often they run pick and roll and how often they want to isolate you. He might be playable in a series against the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic can't guard anybody. So Boogie's going to struggle on the defensive end, but Jokic got nothing for Boogie on the other end. Capella can guard Boogie, so he's not going to punish you offensively. And on the defensive end, aren't they just going to put him in the torture chamber again and again and again, Houston against him?
Well, you look at this whole acquisition now of Bogut and bringing him back. Now, he has won a championship with the Golden State Warriors. He understands the system. So he's a guy that can come in with that starting unit. But when you're going against the Houston Rockets, if it's a late game situation, I see Steve Kerr going small ball. I see him going back to Iguodala. I see him pushing the five over to Draymond Green. But guys, keep this in mind. I don't think Boogie is bad for them offensively. Boogie is a big that can shoot from the outside, can pass. We're starting to see his offense come around. Where they struggle is the defensive end.
Yes.
That's the problem they have. You mentioned it, the pick and roll. He has not been stellar in the pick and roll. I've seen more straight line drives to the basket
yes.
from Golden State Warriors than I have seen in the last 3 years. It's amazing to me. But they have to think about this. Boogie is a guy. He's playing for a contract next year. And so if he's not playing at the end of games, does that disturb your locker room?
And the organization, they made a promise to him because he took less. That's the only way he could fit into their roster, by taking that contract and less. And there was plenty of discussions. Boogie knew, I'm going there to try to reinvent my image, try to be a champion, and try to get me a max deal. Tell me who the person in the organization that has that conversation with Boogie Cousins and say, you're not going to be playing in those important minutes. That, to me, that person does not exist, unless you're going to have Draymond do
it. Well, I was going to say Steph. Like
because what I got going forward is more important. And what you agreed to.
Right.
I came here with an agreement, and that agreement is we're going to bring me back slowly, but I'm going to be integrated back onto this team, and I'm going to be playing critical minutes. So those promises and those minutes, they promised him. And that's why Boogie Cousins is going to be out there, and that's why it's on the board that they can be beat, because of the lack of defense that we've seen, the worst of the last 5 years of a Warriors team.
All right, Swin, thanks so much for hanging
Absolutely.
With us today. Much appreciated. Coming up, how can a change of scenery benefit Odell next on First Things First? Why? Here, first things first, we are going viral. Check out Ramel Carter, an 11-year-old soccer player, showing off skills on the... That's not even on an incline. Like, settle down.
Oh, come on,
I'm joking. It is so impressive.
And it gets better, man. He speeds this thing up. This kid evidently, I've been told, has 138,000 followers on Instagram. That's probably why Jenna was bashing him. She's jealous.
I just thought maybe a little incline.
Just running on the treadmill at that speed at that age is impressive. To be touching the dribbling soccer ball like that.
That's awesome.
It's over in England?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I've been to England a few times. That might be.
He's like, I'm in England. I've never seen
his last name Carter.
We got some nice feet. Let me throw him a pass. Let me see. Good Lord, hey son, what up?
Look how the ball stays on there too.
Hey, son.
Oh no, he's amazing. This is amazing feet right here to keep his body weight from not being thrown off the treadmill.
It's true. That was unbelievable.
Very impressive. All right, time
Dangerous.
For stores
Don't
to start
try
your morning.
No. This kid's a professional.
LeBron putting on a show against the Bulls, scored 36 points, 10 rebounds in a 123-107. Win. Nick, if LeBron is going to keep playing, what, if anything, does he still have to prove?
I don't think it's about something to prove as much as to remind everyone who he still is, especially since he is now, it would appear, fully recovered from the groin injury, as recovered
Just
as he's
moving
going
the
to
best
be,
we've seen since Christmas.
No doubt. And more lift that we've seen in any time since Christmas. And so if there was any trepidation from a potential free agent, I don't think it matters in the Anthony Davis part of it, because that's a trade. But a free agent weighing options, they want to know what version of LeBron they're getting. Nights like last night remind them what version they're getting.
Yeah, I don't think the NBA players are going to be concerned about where LeBron is. What I'm concerned about is just any type of injury. But if he's going to play, this is what I do want to see. I want to see him in the post at least 60 to 70% of the time. Last night, my goodness, if LeBron is going to age in the post, he's going to age really well. So if he is going to play, Jenna, I prefer him be resting. But if he's going to play, I want him in the post a bunch.
All right, big day for Kyler Murray. He will throw at Oklahoma's Pro Day later this afternoon. It is unclear whether or not he'll participate in other drills, such as running the 40. See, what are you hoping to see from Kyler today?
Oh, man, I hope to see the same thing that we've seen during the regular season. He's such an accurate thrower of the football. I hope that, because he's in sync with his wide receivers there, typically these pro days, they go very well. I think that today he's able to secure the first pick in the draft. Ooh. I hope his interviews go better. I hope that the people that who have coached him up, that he's more like a flower and compared to what they saw at the combine. I think that's more of him. The more the reserved guy than the open guy, but I hope he does better in those things.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Let me just ask a question real quick. Why would he not run the 40? That's the only part of this stuck out to me. Since he didn't run it at the combine, what's the downside to him running the 40?
I don't think it's important. I said the same thing with Lamar last year. It wasn't important how fast he
because
is.
Because people already knew he was
game
fast.
I mean, is he a 4-4? Is he a 4-3? Does that make a difference for the quarterback? No. People have gotten over the height issue, all right? So What if he popped his hamstring?
He should run it backwards so he records a better time than Dwayne Haskins. That's what I would recommend he do.
Le'Veon Bell is headed to the Jets, Nick.
I don't know the last time you went backwards, but I'm sure you couldn't do 40 yards in 5 seconds.
Well, I couldn't. I'm not the potential number one pick of the draft.
Here's what that deal looked like.
Okay.
You included me. For that, thank you. 4 years, $52 million, $35 guaranteed million dollars. He'll be paired up with quarterback Sam Darnold, who had a bit of an up-and-down rookie season. Chris, how does Le'Veon help Sam Darnold now?
Oh, just a number of reasons. The offensive line immediately got better. He has the best security blanket. People always said, oh, the tight end's a security blanket. No, he's not. That running back. Because I can hand it to him, and I can throw it to him. Down the field, sideways, I can line him up at wide receiver. Their wide receivers got better. Their defense got better. So Sam Darnold, you're trying to scheme, Adam Gase, I'm trying to scheme 65 plays a game. Well, I got 25 of them already carried. Because that dude right there, that's what he's averaged.
And Jenna, you brought up a great point earlier. One of the Jets had a lot of problems last year, but one of their biggest problems was turnovers and the inability to convert short yardage. Le'Veon Bell, the better running back you have, the fewer turnovers you're going to have because you can hand the ball off, which is always safer than throwing the football. And you can stay on the field when you have third and short because you can give it to a guy who's been great in short yardage throughout his career.
Also, like our guy told us, the guy was on your show yesterday.
Warren Sharp.
Be better on first down.
That helps
those young quarterbacks out.
Absolutely.
Finally, Odell Beckham was traded to the Browns last night. That ends an up-and-down 5 years in New York. That saw countless highlights, but also multiple on-the-field outbursts.
The equipment's glad he's gone.
From a very emotional wide receiver. CeCe, you think maybe a change of scenery benefits Odell? Not that that was holding him back in New York, but sometimes that can help a player.
Well, there's nothing holding him back in New York. He had every opportunity but a good team around him. And one of the elite quarterbacks. So for me, it's about pairing your ability, not only with one of your buddies from high school, when they were running around dreaming of being NFL players, him and Jarvis Landry, but you can only go so far with wide receivers, man. You need a quarterback. And Baker Mayfield is the real freaking deal. He can throw the football. He's got a huge hand, can throw it in the cold. He's a great leader. He not only took over the Cleveland Browns last year, he took over an organization that took the NFL by storm, terrified the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Baker Mayfield is here to be dealt with, and I like his overall leadership, and I'm glad that they gave him something friendly in, not the wide receivers, not the tight ends, not the couple running backs he's got, but in Freddie Kitchens. He likes him, and he believes in him because Kitchens believed in his ability. So all those things, look for this to be the best Cleveland offense since I was maybe a kid, Bernie Kosar, throwing the Wester Slaughter and people like that. Like, so this is a dangerous football team.
And for Odell, to address your question directly, you talked to Odell at the Super Bowl. What was he talking about?
Oh, they're going to trade me, dog. OG, they're going to trade me. They don't believe in me. So I was shocked, and I was like, man, you need to be a Giant your whole career. Stay focused on being in New York. And I'm trying to stay focused.
I hope he reaches a level of contentness in Cleveland. He didn't reach in New York. When we were out that week, and I was out of the country, Odell texts me about some things that had been said, so he and I went back and forth. I connected him with Colin, and we got to talking, and he said to me, he was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be in. I asked him. I was like, when are you back in New York? Because I want to get together. He's like, man. He's like, I'm going to Paris in a little bit because it's Fashion Week. So, of course, he's going to Paris. And then he says, I don't know if they're going to keep me. And I don't know if that's because he thought they wanted to trade him.
He knew.
But I also think part of it was he wasn't against the idea of being traded.
Oh,
Odell
no.
had a wandering eye. And I think there is a benefit to him not landing in Los Angeles, not landing in San Francisco. I think there's a benefit to him landing in a city in Cleveland where for 4 months a year when you're playing football, not a ton to do other than play football. Now, LeBron's now gone. He and Baker are the biggest stars in that town by an enormous margin. But Baker doesn't strike me as a go-out-all-the-time guy. First of all, not anymore. And second,
Baker's not in Paris.
Right. And second of all, it's going to sound weird. You can't hide in Cleveland. Odell could really enjoy the nightlife of New York, and New York's a big enough place and enough protections in place where those types of places have protocols for a star of his caliber, where he can go, where he can maybe stay. If he is going to have to be solely focused throughout the season on football, and there will be less scrutiny on him. Now, we on national level are going to talk about that team every single day. But I think it'll be good for him. The only reservation I have is you said something, C, really interesting last week, which was that any player that doesn't end their career where they started it, no matter the reason, or most players have some form of almost regret. Like, I wish I could have made it work in that place.
Yeah, those careers are always special. I don't care how many championships you won, but when you're able to do everything with one franchise, say if you don't win a championship, it's all with one franchise, and that investment in you, you would like to have been like, man, I reached my potential. Everything worked out. Most of the guys that I've talked to, yes, they've gone on to great things and gone on to a great career, but when you look back at it and been like, man, we like things to work. All right, and to be able to, the Giants gave up on him, and he gave up on the Giants, too, to a certain degree.
How do you think his personality fits in not just the culture of what Cleveland is, but just even on this team? I mean,
this team's
culture is changing.
Listen, I think he and Baker are going to mesh. You've got Jarvis there already.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier his wide receivers coach from college, Adam Henry.
Yep.
Yes. He's the wide receivers
That's
coach
huge.
There. Like, no, I think the city doesn't sound, doesn't sound like Odell Beckham, but the Browns offense, what they can do, and what they are going, and the difference between, on a just X's and O's football level, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league last year at deep passes to one of, in fact, ranked the best quarterback in the league. Nobody completed more deep passes than Baker Mayfield. You brought up earlier, he was as good as anybody on those slant routes that Odell can take to the house. There will be a level of rejuvenation I would imagine he will feel coming into a season fully healthy, first of all, and
this is the best football team he's been on.
By far. It's like, I don't even think it's a question, and it's the best quarterback he's played with. And what does a wide receiver care about? Money? Okay, he's got his.
Yeah.
Stats? Now you've got an opportunity to have even greater stats. Mm-hmm. And playing in big games in your quarterback.
And winning.
And yes.
Which he might now do with Cleveland. Right now, the Browns 14-1 odds to win the Super Bowl.
Not a lot of those highlights we showed or lowlights of him flipping out on the sideline were in games they were ahead in. Like, it wasn't a lot of the Giants are up 28-7, but Odell hasn't gotten the ball. It's the Giants went 3-and-out again. He didn't get the ball. They're losing. And he's frustrated. They're winning games. I think you're going to need the best version of Odell.
All right. We'll take a break. Coming up, are the Jets instant contenders now after signing Le'Veon Bell? That's next on First Things First. FS1 is your destination for the day's best sports shows. Tune in for the biggest personalities on the biggest stories. We get you started right here with First Things First. You can catch it on Monday through Friday only on FS1. Back here with Chris Canty talking Le'Veon Bell. He's headed to the Jets, one of the best dual threats in the league the last couple of years, hoping to give a hand to second-year quarterback Sam Darnold. Le'Veon Bell missed the entire 2018 season, but in the 5 years prior had more total yards per game than any running back in nearly 50 years, while the Jets, they were nearly last in all rushing categories. Bell tweeted this out last night. I'm back in the green, baby. Let's get it. Kenny, how good of a fit is Le'Veon with Sam Darnold and Adam Gase, that offense that they've put together?
Well, I think it's going to be a good fit. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is a tremendous football player. I think he was the best playmaker that was available this offseason, whether it's in the draft or free agency on the offensive side of the ball. But in terms of the move, I think it fits in line with what Mike Maccagnan has been doing all offseason, which is trying to support his young franchise quarterback. I mean, he had the foresight to move up from 6-3 last March to put themselves in position to be able to draft Sam Darnold, and now it's being able to surround him with the right supporting cast. It started with firing Todd Bowles and hiring Adam Gase from the Miami Dolphins. Now, you can argue whether or not that was the right decision, but the hire was made with Sam Darnold in mind and being able to get the most out of him. And then, of course, making the trade before free agency started, bringing over my former teammate Kelechi Osemele from the Oakland Raiders and fortifying the guard tandem for the Jets. Anytime you start talking about providing a quarterback protection, you got to think about the fabric of the pocket, which is the guard, center, guard trio. So I thought that was a great move. And then, of course, what that's going to bring to your run game now. So being able to establish a new line of scrimmage and then give Le'Veon Bell some space to work with, that takes a lot of pressure off your young quarterback.
The other aspect of it for the Jets, because I know everything surrounds commentary in the NFL, the quarterback. I get it. But the other aspect for the Jets was they just turned the ball over too much last year. Now, some of that was Darnold. He had 15 interceptions on the year and some fumbles as well. But when you're not going to have, and even with Le'Veon Bell, I don't think they are going to be an explosive play offense. It'll be more so than they were last year because of L. Bell. But they, Robbie Anderson, it will have one big, big time play like that every few games.
Well, this is the thing with Adam Gase. You have to be careful. Like, in Miami, that's what they did. They ran the ball from unconventional formations, wide receivers, speed sweeps, and creating big plays down the field. Now, don't fall in love with the concept of you might not like their wide receivers and don't think they can make plays. Man, when you have a running back in there, you have Jamison Crowder in there, a slot receiver, like you have some of the key ingredients that you can generate some big play. Imagine just overnight how well their play action pass got without any design.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, all I got to do is just do like that. I'm going to get a certain amount of attention and the lack of respect they're going to have for people outside. So I think people will be shocked. That's why you go from Todd to Adam Gase from a creativity standpoint offensively.
Well, all the better if they do add some of those, because that's what Miami was last year. They had a bunch of track guys on the outside, and they had they were able to scheme up some huge plays. But whether they can do that on a consistent basis or not, what they have to do is not have the third most turnovers in football and not be one of the worst short yardage teams in football. Le'Veon Bell solves both those problems instantly. Like, he might not make you one of the best teams in football taking care of the ball, but you're not going to have 30, you're not going to average 2 turnovers a game, and you're not going to consistently be trotting off the field and putting your punter on the field when it was 3rd and 2 because you can't pick up a first down. That in and of itself helps Sam Darnold because it gives him more opportunities. Well, it gives him more chances to make plays.
Well, yeah, I completely agree with you, and having Le'Veon Bell gives your offense a better chance to stay on schedule. Knowing how the rules are set up in the NFL, it makes it hard to really play defense from a down-in, down-out basis. So your goal on defense is try to create negative plays on the offense. Le'Veon Bell will help that Jets offense cut down on the negative plays. Mm-hmm. And then you also couple what Mike Maccagnan has done on the defensive side of the ball, signing C.J. Mosley. I mean, everybody talks about a running back or a tight end being a quarterback's best friend. No, a really good defense is a quarterback's best friend because they can create field position and extra possessions by making turnovers. So I like everything that Mike Maccagnan has done this offseason. And Le'Veon Bell, to your point, C.C., he creates a little bit of a problem from a defensive game planning standpoint, because when I was with the Baltimore Ravens, our game plan was, how are we going to stop number 26? And he puts you in this conundrum.
And they had a bunch of receivers then, too.
And they had a bunch of receivers then. He puts you in this conundrum where you're trying to ask yourself whether you're going to match up with base defense or nickel defense. Because if you're in base defense and you try to stop the run, guess what? He gets matched up on a linebacker when he splits out, and we know that that's a mismatch. If you try to play nickel defense, guess what they're going to do? They're going to run the ball down your throat. So he puts defenses in that type of position. The Jets have not had that kind of guy in a long time on the offensive side of the ball, somebody that can dictate.
Or even ever. Curtis Martin, the greatest running back they've had in franchise history, but he didn't offer that type of versatility.
Well, we're talking about somebody that can dictate fronts and coverages. The Jets haven't had that guy in a really long time.
Is the job harder for Le'Veon Bell here? Do we take for granted that he had Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown? So it was very easy for him to succeed in Pittsburgh. We just assume he's going to land here and be successful right away?
I think that the job is harder, but I also think what Canny said is really relevant. Even with Big Ben and AB, teams were still scheming first and foremost about stopping him. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if he went from a situation where he was, it's not a number two receiver that never got double teamed that all of a sudden becomes a number one and is realizing a totally different football life. Now, it is going to be harder because you don't have Big Ben, because you don't have Antonio Brown, but I don't think he's not going to face dramatically.
But they must have double teamed AB sometimes where he had a little more open space to run.
Absolutely, but I think we're talking about two different types of situations here. Certainly on pass downs, AB would get double teamed. I'm talking about the fronts that he would see as far as when the Patriots played him in the playoffs, what was Belichick's number one goal? Stopping Le'Veon Bell and go from there. That will be a similar situation with him with the Jets.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell is a special player. And I think at some point in your career, it's nice to play with a lot of players, but it's nice for people to know. And because when you talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and one thing that he got frustrated with the franchise tag was they didn't regard him as high as Ben Roethlisberger, and they didn't regard him in Pittsburgh as high as Antonio. They gave Antonio the contract, and they could have gave that contract to L. Bell. So when you're with a Jets team that is a Sam Darnold team, he can get a lot of credit. So elite athletes don't think about pressure. They think about opportunities. And I think that he's right now ready to say, you know something? The reason why I held out, I'm going to prove to you guys I'm the best running back. So I look for him to thrive, even though he has less weapons around him.
Well, here's the thing. I think it makes it very clear who the New York Jets are. They have an identity for the first time in a really long time. We're going to play really good defense. Look at all the investments they made on that side of the ball the past 3 or 4 years. And then we're going to complement that really good defense with a strong running game. I think that makes all the sense in the world. But the most important part of all of it is that it helps Sam Darnold continue to develop. That's the biggest part, especially when he's on a rookie deal, because we're seeing teams now realize that when you have a quarterback that's on that controllable wage scale, then it makes it an opportunity to develop the roster where you can compete for a championship.
He averages in his career, not in some subsection of his career, not in the last 2 years, over his entire career, he averages more than 125 yards per game from scrimmage. He is a 2,000 yard from scrimmage per season on average running back. He's the only guy in the league like that. And that is why you go out and you pay him top of the market money. And that is why when there isn't a superstar number one receiver available in free agency to help Sam Darnold, I loved the Osemele trade. I'm glad you mentioned that. This is the best thing they can do for him to go along with hiring a coach that they believe, rightly or wrongly, that will also help Sam Darnold take that next step.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.